It's Boldly Going Nowhere's half-assed holiday special.
You know, I'm tired of this.
Hey, chicken!
Christmas is canceled!
It's the most wonderful time.
Yeah. Holiday episode, everyone.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I mean,
I've been drinking since noon and I don't care. You want to keep the music going? If I felt a little stoppy.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's do that.
You
yeah.
felt
the I am, you're stopping. How do you feel being the Jew in the group?
Let's wow. talk about
we're,
that.
We're just opening up with that, aren't we?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. really?
Boldly going in that direction.
I don't mind.
With the episode.
I don't mind.
You don't mind?
If you want people actually want to hear perspective on Hanukkah from a person who actually celebrates it, I'm happy to offer my perspective.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Do it. Which, it's which tradition,
is,
by the way.
Which is... Oh, it's Hanukkah? Shit! Forgot to buy shit. Because it changes every year.
I mean, Justin, allow me to be the one to say, I am so glad that your oil lasted way longer than you thought it would.
8 days? That's crazy!
I wish it would stop. You know? The oil. I don't need more oil. Okay? This year it started December 8th, which at least there was like a week between Thanksgiving and Hanukkah. You know what the first night of Hanukkah is next year?
What?
Thanksgiving Day.
What the fuck? What? Are you kidding me?
Hanukkah starts on Thanksgiving.
Oh, Christ.
That's not even cool.
This is more fucked up than daylight savings time. Wait, so are you going to make the tradition?
How does that happen? In 5 years, is it going to start on April Fool's Day? Or
it just keeps getting earlier and earlier.
Dude, gotcha. I'll put it present.
Did the ancient Hebrews just have their own different calendar on how to set things up, or what?
Well, it is a different calendar. It's based on the moon. And as you know, the moon is a fickle, fickle creature.
That does not take your bullshit lightly.
That fickle bitch.
It isn't really. I actually thought the moon cycles were much more regular than, you know, it being 31 days, and then 30, then 31, and then 28, and then...
Yeah. Yes. Well, logic has no place in this conversation. I thought we...
We're talking about religion here, son.
Right.
Logic has no place.
I could be wrong. It's been a while since my astronomy merit badge.
He's actually correct, and the lunar calendar is also... We're in the year, I think, 57, 60-something... I don't know. It's a completely different calendar.
Yeah. Yeah.
With names like Nissan and Elul.
I love that car.
And Mitsubishi.
And Toyota.
Yeah. Anyway. Toyota. No. Yes. But our months get great gas.
It's a good car.
But funnily enough, actually, some of our listening audience might not know this. Justin actually has a birthday in December as well.
I do, on a perhaps auspicious date.
What's that?
December 24th.
He's a messiah!
Well, you know, I've often considered that myself. I have often had delusions of being the messiah.
A podcaster. Dude, you got the chin hair growth for it, at the very least.
So basically, yeah. Justin Eisenstadt, ladies and gentlemen, is hipster Jesus.
And of course, I being the scientist has to point out that Jesus was actually probably born in the summer. That we just celebrate his birthday wasn't recorded.
I know.
So we celebrate his birthday in order to override a pagan holiday.
And he was black.
Or at least Middle Eastern, at least.
Very Middle Eastern.
So the thing about Hanukkah that people always ask you is, so do all the gifts suck? And the answer is, with all due respect to my parents, who I appreciate them and, you know, totally grateful for everything they give to me. Yeah, kind of. You get a good present on the first night, and then it's just downhill from there. Until last night is
I
like...
I got you this brand new sweater.
I got you an air freshener for your room.
I remember seeing this SNL sketch, and it was Santa Claus was out of it for the remainder of, like, you know, the Christmas season. So they had this character, Hanukkah Harry, who was giving Christmas presents to all the Gentile boys and girls. And it was like, oh, look, socks? Yeah, 12 pair! You know? And like pencil erasers and whatnot.
They were on sale, 12 for $5.99.
Yeah,
the,
so that's always been like the stereotype. So you put it on your pencil, bada boom. Hey!
No. Oi! Okay, I did get, I got, this is kind of cool. I wish I'd brought it with me. It is an air guitar toy. So it's what? A little... It's a toy. Yeah.
Was it just an empty box that said air guitar toy inside?
It's an inflatable. Really? It's an inflatable guitar.
Is it that sensor that picks up where your hand is?
You've seen it. He knows what I'm talking about.
It's basically it's a sensor you can clip onto your belt, and basically whenever your hand comes into a your hands have to be in a certain place, but it actually mimics the guitar sound.
It basically looks like the headstock of a guitar, and then maybe like the first 3 inches of the neck, and then it's got buttons for each note. And then there's buttons on the side for sharp or flat.
Is this the T-shirt?
No, it's an actual physical object made of plastic that you hold. And as Colin said, it has a light sensor on the bottom. So you hold down the note. Well, what you're supposed to do is hold down the note and sort of pass your hand through the beam. And when you pass your hand through the beam, it makes the sound. Two problems. One is that it doesn't work.
This looks really funny. I don't know.
And two is that the sound doesn't sound anything like a guitar. It's just sort of like an electronic beeping noise.
It sounds to me like what you buy someone who isn't ready to play Rock Band on the PS3 yet.
Yeah. And
here, play with this.
There's a really great. It comes preloaded with 10 built-in songs that you can play along
to. Is Smoke on the Water one of them?
Yes.
I knew it.
Smoke on the Water, you are the chopsticks of electric guitar.
Oh my god, you know what? You got a point there.
Really is.
He's talk dirty to me on one of them.
No, number one is Jet, Are You Gonna Be My Girl? Of course, two is Smoke on the Water. And then four of them are Japanese songs.
Is one of them by any chance I'm Turning Japanese by the Vapors?
No, I mean, Japanese songs.
They're
rock songs.
Or maybe it's something I heard on DDR.
Right.
I'm your little butterfly. Green, black, and blue makes us colors of the sky.
First of all, there's no lyrics. It's just the guitar track. Okay, it sort of sounds like a guitar.
DJ Naoki,
I can't decide which is worse, the just blatantly digital sound that sounds nothing like a guitar, or the sound that kind of sounds like a guitar but is just off enough as to be extremely great.
Let me ask you this. Does it sound like, you know, those kids' guitar toys that you always see, like those like Fisher-Price toys? Does it sound like that?
It sounds worse than that.
Really?
The problem is, as I was saying, problem number one is that it doesn't work because when I held down the button... It just kept making the noise. Like, it was just a sustained tone. And I'm, like, passing my hand through, and it's, beep, beep, beep. I'm like...
Mozart would be proud.
I'm like, I can't do anything with this. And it's kind of a cool idea, because when I looked on the box, I'm like, wow, you could actually theoretically play real songs in there, because, you know, it's got all, of the major notes, it's got all the notes, plus it has a button for sharp or flat, so you have all 12 chromatic notes, and it's got a minor button, you can make them chord minor, and there's a seventh, you can make a seventh chord, and you can even combine them, make a minor seventh, flat, minor seventh, etc. So it's like, theoretically, it seems like, wow, I could actually make music on this. It doesn't sound anything. Like,
it's really bad.
You know what this sounds like? This sounds like something that ThinkGeek needs to get its hands on and try and make a better version of.
I'm amazed they haven't already, but
they did with a t-shirt.
I'm kicking myself for not having brought it in so I could actually play it here. And you can
I'll totally bring in the drum shirt that I have. That's like, it's got the pad on there and you can like hit it and whatnot.
Brian was fondly his nipples for a long time there. I was really afraid where it was going to go.
Winking. The symbols are right by the nipples, so you just...
Yeah.
So the point is, I'm going to wrap up the whole Hanukkah talk because it's a holiday episode. No one wants to talk about Hanukkah.
Well, it's either that, Christmas, or Kwanzaa.
Hanukkah
so
is technically
God forbid
a holiday.
Kwanzaa gets brought
technically,
up.
Technically, yes. It is the least important. There's maybe one other holiday I can think of in the Jewish calendar that is less important than Hanukkah.
What's that?
Because the one I was going to say actually is mentioned in the Torah. Hanukkah is like the only holiday that is not actually mentioned in the Torah, minus. With the exception of Holocaust Remembrance Day, which, for obvious reasons, is not mentioned.
That's mentioned.
That would be. I mean, you would be a true believer if that was mentioned in the Torah, like that. If it was that prescient. But the point is, that Hanukkah is not actually every other holiday. The holiday is mentioned in the Torah as a holiday that we celebrate. Hanukkah is not. Is not important in the slightest, and at least half the nights this year we forgot to do it.
That's like, that's bizarre, dude.
Because you don't get off work for Hanukkah because it's 8 days. Mm. So I'm like, it's 11 o'clock, so we light the candles. We'll just light them all at the end.
If memory serves correctly, like, did you ever get off school for Hanukkah?
No.
Yeah.
Because it changes. It changes every year.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we first night we made the latkes. Potato pancakes, you know,
nice.
McDonald's hash browns, basically. and, you know, you're supposed to eat things that are fried in oil because oil is there's a lot of symbolism along with lines of oil. You
add up with chicken, but okay.
Yeah, you know, you eat the potato pancakes, you eat donuts. It's a really unhealthy holiday.
Mm.
So,
fried chicken right up my ass.
You spin the dreidel. You spin the dreidel. There's a game that goes with the dreidel. It's a really, really lame game. Let me just explain the dreidel game real quick.
I'm pretty sure that was a Jerry Lewis impression,
yes,
actually.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's what I'm here for.
Let me just explain the dreidel game real quick.
Fact checker, sir.
So it's this little spinning top. It's got four sides on it. There's four letters on it. There's a central pot. It's a game of chance that involves a central pot with people having their own collections. The object is to get the entire pot. Mm. One of the symbols is you get the entire pot.
Mm-hmm.
One of the symbols is you get half the pot. One of the symbols is you put one coin or whatever you're using into the pot, and one of the symbols is nothing happens. As you might guess from those rules, it takes a really, really long time to get things into the pot because
there's only a 1/4 chance. 25%
of the time,
you put
one
thing.
25% of the time, you put one thing into the pot. The other three times, you either take the pot out or you don't do anything.
Sounds like you need to revamp that game, man.
So I've started recreating the rules, making my own rules for the dreidel game.
I'm making a drinking game.
You know what you should do is you should craft like a D8, eight-sided dreidel.
An eight-sided dreidel. And that's.
Make no mention of it, period.
But, so I'm, you know, I'm thinking of recreating the rules where, you know, the half rule, I made a little more interesting. So it's half, but if there's an odd number or zero items in the pot, then instead of taking half, you put half of your own into the pot. And
right
if
on.
It's even, you take half the pot. And the one that does nothing, it still does nothing, but now you just, like, slap the person across the table from you to make things a little more interesting. And also to say, why are we playing this game?
I think we're going to need to reserve a booth at Too Many Games this year.
We could teach everyone the
just, like, literally have a giant sign saying, the new improved dreidel game.
We should do that at MAGFest, actually.
Yes. So I would totally do that.
Oh, yeah. It's the new...
hey, folks, I actually have a holiday shopping story to relate.
Oh, yeah. All right,
please. You know where I really like shopping just year round as a rule? Best Buy.
Yeah.
for the sake of argument, it's Best Buy for now.
Okay.
Just about everything that every hobby I have, I can satiate there except for comics.
Yes.
And so I really enjoy getting the occasional certificate.
Wait, do they sell bondage wear?
What?
I haven't really been into that hobby in a while. I have too many bad memories.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, I went in one, two, tiny times, and it just, you know. Anyway.
So I'm used to getting certificates, basically gift cards over email, and this year I got kind of a strange one. Instead of getting $15 or $25, I got this could be anywhere between $10 and $5,000 gift certificate.
Huh.
And I'm like, there's an ungodly amount of fine print, and it says something to the effect of, you have to take this to a customer service representative before you take it to the checkout counter. Although if you take it to the checkout counter, you have a greater chance of it being higher. However, if you do that, then you have to spend, like if you win $5,000, and you have to have brought $5,000 worth of items to the checkout counter when you make that gamble. So if you take it to the customer service representative in the opposite corner of the store first. It might be a lower amount. However, you can redeem it for a gift card and use that whenever you want. And I'm looking at this and thinking to myself, wherever the hell I take this, they're just going to tell me it's $10, aren't they?
But you have to have exactly that amount of stuff
or more
with you or more? Okay.
If I play the high stakes and take it to the checkout.
Well, that's gonna be really embarrassing when you bring up $5,000 worth of items and then have to put them all back when it ends up.
I thought so too.
You know what I would do? I would get a $4,999 TV, just take it up there and be like, okay, check it out.
So I'm unfortunately just not a gambling man, so I took it to the customer service and said it's $10. Go away.
Naturally.
Yeah. I've probably never been more pissed off at Best Buy in my life.
I mean, you still
don't. Don't get me wrong, they're still better than Kohl's, but.
You mean Worst Buy?
Oh!
Oh! I actually didn't hear what she said. I'll just listen to the recording later. Let's move on. All right.
I mean, we had some sort of like
happy holidays, everyone.
We had some mystery coupons like that going on at Barnes & Noble, but it was much simpler. It was just, you know, this coupon is worth X percent, where X could be anywhere from 10% to 50%. Mm. That's it, and then you just find out at the register. That was it. Mm. So.
Okay, well, that's less annoying.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, so talked about shopping experiences and the better forgotten Hanukkah holiday.
Oh, well, speaking of holiday shopping, can I talk about a really popular toy that I'd never heard of before working at Barnes & Noble this year? And I'm wondering if you guys are familiar with this thing.
Okay,
sure. Let's hear it.
Okay, Elf on the Shelf.
Yes, yeah. I've heard of that.
It has to be good. It rhymes.
So this thing is selling like hotcakes, which is really kind of an antiquated phrase. I don't really know.
Yeah, how popular are hotcakes these days?
How popular hotcakes are? I mean, I think
like, pancakes are delicious.
Crepes are the new hotcakes, if you ask me.
I wouldn't open with that bit. Move on.
Totes.
Totes.
Point taken. So if you're not familiar with it, and apparently it's really popular, Elf on the Shelf is an elf that sits on your shelf and
oh my,
supposedly reports to Santa every night.
Creepy as fuck.
So you're familiar with Elf on the Shelf?
Yeah, my friends post pictures of him posing in different positions.
Yeah, you probably know more people with kids.
Yes. Yeah,
and also you teach kids. So
it sodomized my Power Ranger.
Thank you for agreeing with me that it's really creepy.
Yes, he just has these really big eyes and he like stares at you from across the room.
It's got really red cheeks
and
big eyes.
And I follow you.
And the whole...
I'm Elf on the Shelf and I love you.
I
love you. I'm Elf on the Shelf and I want to hurt you.
Okay.
I'm Elf on the Shelf and I'm going to murder you.
Well, the premise is that, you know, it started out as just like this one family came up with this tradition where, you know, the kids were always asking, like, how does Santa know whether I'm naughty or nice? So the elf sits on your shelf and it tells Santa, it watches everything that the kids do. And then it goes back each night and tells Santa. And then the next morning, the elf is in a new position somewhere in the house. And so
just because bad parenting doesn't give you a reason to do mind fuck games to children. Like,
yeah.
Santa is the CIA. The head of the CIA.
Yeah.
Wait, he's moving. He's moving.
So
get a lock on him.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
To me, not celebrating Christmas or believing in any of it, it just seems like a really weird thing. But, I mean, everyone is buying this thing. So I'm wondering, would you guys, if let's say you had kids, and let's hope that never happens, if you guys had kids, would you get
thanks
them Elf on the Shelf?
No.
Get a Furby.
Fuck no, that too.
Yeah.
I if anybody's gonna watch over my kids, it's gonna be Batman.
Thank you for bringing up the Furby too. So Furbies are back.
Yeah, seriously, what the fuck?
We
dude
saw Furbies at Barnes & Noble, and they're even creepier than they used to be. And I know that the company that makes them is aware of how creepy they are because of the things that they're putting on the box. Like, you won't believe what your Furby turns into.
What?
And it's literally what it says.
Yeah, it turns into a gremlin.
I wonder if
keep
the
away from water.
I wonder
him after midnight.
I wonder if the pen, if the
shut up.
I wonder if the Pentagon is going to ban these Furbies also.
Right.
Wait, what?
Yeah, apparently they were worried that Furbies could, like, listen, you know, record government secrets and would tell them to the enemy, which is like, why are highly classified government agents carrying
best
around Furby?
Best espionage gadget, Furby.
I love him. And
007 used it all the time.
I'm sure there are other reasons, but I still think that the government takes responsibility for getting Furby, for killing Furby Mania.
I guess so. I mean,
Or at least according to that cracked article.
Well, Mr. Russian Premier, why do you have a Furby with you? He's for the little ones.
I mean, if that's the same...
This is a Furby.
You know mine don't take out a box right now, do you?
I mean, by that same kind of logic, cell phones should not be allowed to be around right now, then.
Tickle its belly and it explodes in 5 seconds.
Mr. President, please speak into the Furby.
Anyway. All right, so we've talked about that.
In Hells.
Let's talk about Christmas movies.
Okay.
All right, I love Die Hard.
That
does technically count.
That was the first one I thought of.
All right, well, here, let's go on record here. Let's go around the table.
That was funny.
Let's get our favorite Christmas movie, starting with Brian.
Gremlins.
Why?
Because it's fucking Gremlins.
Okay, good. Sean.
Christmas Story.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Because
yes, the Chinese restaurant, which eerily enough, has anyone started to notice that like more places are open on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
Like it used to be just Chinese restaurants and movie theaters open on Christmas Day.
Oh, by the way, if anyone was wondering about the whole Jewish people going to Chinese restaurants on Christmas,
yeah,
that is a real thing.
Yeah,
a real thing.
Hey, look at all this Moogle Guy pan.
I'm gonna say Christmas Story too, hands down.
Okay.
I'd actually have to say Christmas Story as well. It's the one that I feel like is the closest to a tradition. Although I will say, I wish Die Hard was in the tradition, because at the very least, Die Hard is way, way more of a Christmas story than It's a Wonderful Life is.
Yeah.
I have never understood why It's a Wonderful Life is synonymous with Christmas, because Christmas is only there for like the last 10 minutes.
It's a long story.
Wasn't
dude.
There a cracked article about that?
I believe you're right. Yes.
It was because that multinational television corporations could show it for free.
Right, pretty much.
Because it was a total flop at the box office, and so no one wanted to buy the rights, so they could virtually show it for absolutely no cash.
That's almost the same story as Blade Runner.
So you mean to tell me that there's hope for Daredevil? Awesome. All right, anyways.
Yeah, someday, 50 years in the future, that will be a Christmas tradition.
What about
My favorite. See, everyone said Christmas Story. I'm gonna have to go with Christmas Story too.
It's okay if we have a, you know.
Yes.
We have consensus.
Seriously, what the fuck, guys?
I said it before. It was cool.
Let's be honest here. It's every single kid. I mean, every one of us here has had that Christmas gift that we've wanted and we've asked and we've been told. Yeah, and we've been told, oh, well, you can't have that for blank reason.
For me, I think the one thing resonating with me the most is that whole, like, oh, that looks so great on you, and it's that fucking pink bunny costume.
It looks like a pink nightmare.
It's like, oh, God.
I have to go with White Christmas. We watched that together last night as a family. It's a tradition.
Oh, what, are you going to cry, baby? You going to cry?
Scott Farkas is a dick.
Yellow eyes, so God help me, yellow eyes.
We all remember being packed up like Ralphie going out to...
Hey, guys, wait up for me. Like, seriously, if I ever met Scott Farkas in real life, I'd punch him right in the mouth.
Wait, what's it? Your arms won't go down.
Wasn't he that...
Your arms wouldn't go down. I remember packing you up.
Wasn't that Bully the kid who was also in American Pie, by the way?
Scott Farkas?
The Shermanator?
No.
Which is a little piece of way you just think all gingers look alike. Racist.
You racist.
Sorry, Colin.
Nah.
Sorry, Gimli.
Scott Farkas, get him! you doth wound me, sir. Okay, so, alright, those are our favorite Christmas movies, least favorite Christmas movies, starting Brian, go.
How the Grinch Stole Christmas, that Jim Carrey piece of shit, or as I like to call it, how Ron Howard stole my $8.
Good.
Good one. Alright, Sean?
I'm gonna have to jump on board with that Christmas, that particular movie.
How Ron Howard stole my $8? Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I fucking hate that movie, dude.
Alright, Justin?
I mean, that's a tough one. I mean, that's a pretty bad one. You ever see that Christmas with the Cranks?
Nope.
I dodged that one.
I had actually forgotten about that, but you were so right.
I'm sorry.
My parents saw it. It was on.
I'm annoyed by those fucking claymation old 19 whatever.
You don't like the Rankin-Bass stuff?
Like the reindeer Rudolph and the big snowman. I hate that.
You man, Hermes is gonna be a dentist. I'm stoked.
Nope. And
Rudolph maybe, but not the rest of it.
Well, yeah, there was a whole like it turned. There was a whole
Frosty always creeped the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Rudolph, cool, awesome. Frosty the Snowman, no.
Jesus. No, you know which one
I'm changing mine. Charlie Brown.
Really? Charlie Brown Christmas?
If I can interject, by the way, can you at least?
That's your argument.
Well, yeah, I was like, why? Is it just because Charlie Brown is just so depressing?
And he looks like
And the jokes fucking mean. The jokes aren't really funny. It's just kind of like.
They're funny by different standards. It was the 70s.
It's peanuts. It's not supposed to be like laugh out loud funny. It's peanuts.
I don't want that.
Have you ever actually read a Peanuts comic and laughed? I mean, that's
how. Oh, here's another.
Charlie Brown. How I hate him. That was the first comic that Peanuts ever did.
Santa Claus with Tim Allen. That was good.
Especially
some of the funnier ones.
Well, yes. I was gonna say the first one, but then
the second and third ones the ones I really hate.
There's like eight of those movies.
Going over our house
and Dad going, "Why is Santa Claus 2? This captures the magic of Christmas," and I'm like, "You gotta be shitting me."
He actually made a joke, and it was really, this is right around like where Michael Jackson was still alive. We were watching it, and it was Santa Claus playing like hockey or whatever on the North Pole, and they're going back and forth. And all of a sudden, the kids just dive in after Santa Claus. And my dad points to the screen and goes, "Hey, look, Michael Jackson's Wet Dream." And I was like,
"Oh." I have to remind our father that he's a priest sometimes.
Real fast, by the way. First thing about that movie. That kid who's like rocking out to like rocking around the Christmas tree. I wanted to punch him. Mm. Two. Who here has seen The Year Without a Santa Claus?
No,
I have not seen it.
The one where, like, do you remember from Batman and Robin, the whole, Ice Meister? That's where that's from. It's actually this one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's like the Ice Meister and the Fire Meister. And I remember watching that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, all right.
So, Justin.
Creepy as shit.
Justin, what's your least favorite Christmas film?
Well, can I say it's not a Christmas film, though, but it is a holiday film.
Okay.
All right.
Holiday film still counts.
And since, again, I have to, represent the Jew demographic here.
Represent! What could it possibly be?
Well, both the only and the worst Hanukkah movie that there is, Eight Crazy Nights.
Oh!
Hey, that's on
Netflix.
Damn it,
what is wrong with you in reminding me of the most god-awful movies I've forgotten for years?
It's the holidays, Jordan.
Painful memories are
about. That's what the holidays are for.
All right, so, Jordan, can I go ahead and say that Eight Crazy Nights is your least favorite holiday movie?
Because variety is the spice of life, I'm going to go with what I was going to say before that.
Yeah, don't let me
speaking of eminently punchable major actors, who remembers Surviving Christmas with Ben Affleck?
Vaguely, I didn't see it, but
that I haven't actually seen it. But I did read the Agony Booth's expose and post-mortem on this movie, and it's discomfort made incarnate, in which Ben Affleck is this fabulously wealthy corporate jackass who doesn't know the real meaning of Christmas, so he essentially blackmails this schlubby suburban family whose patriarch is James Gandolfini into... Okay. They live in his family's old house. So he goes there and like hires them to pretend to be his family, and like coddle him in queasily intimate ways.
Can I assume that James Gandolfini's character is supposed to be intimidating, but then turns out to be warm and lovable?
No, he's pretty much just a doormat from start to finish.
Oh, okay.
And I'm pretty sure this was filmed during like the third season of Sopranos.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just 1,000 different degrees of ick. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing they were trying to go for like subverting the true meaning of Christmas kind of stories.
Yeah.
But shouldn't have had Ben Affleck.
Real fast. I think I have one more thing that we can ask, and then we can wrap it up here. What is your favorite adaptation of A Christmas Story?
Okay, well,
a Christmas Carol. Oh, okay.
I think we should just do New Year's resolutions.
Well, I was gonna say, well, first things first, I haven't given my last.
Oh, my bad. Sorry.
Yeah, I know, jackass. Were you skipping over me? That's what I do.
Well, it's the holidays.
I know, right? Anyway, my least favorite Christmas adaptation. It's actually a tie between two films. It's Die Hard 2. Because it sucks.
It was still set at Christmas time, right?
Yeah, it was technically still set at Christmas time, and there was snow because they were in DC, not California. But it just really sucked. It's just a really shitty movie. I'll still laugh at it every now and again.
Okay,
but
the other one.
It is Rob Lowe's Christmas Shoes.
Oh God!
Oh. And now you reminded me of a god awful movie. Thank you.
I think you might have even trumped a Christmas.
Believe it or not, this is a movie based on a god awful song, "Christmas Shoes."
Oh,
don't know that song? For the love of God, don't look it up, because it is quite frankly the worst piece of shit you will ever listen to.
Can one enjoy it ironically?
But no one can enjoy that ironically.
Yeah, but what you should do instead of listening to that song is look up Patton Oswalt's bit about the Christmas shoes.
The poor little boy's mother was dying, so she needed those shoes.
If that kid was so stupid to buy his mother shoes instead of fucking medicine, then seriously, God should have smoked both those fuckers. Both of them.
I think you don't get the point of that, but at the same time, I don't want anybody to get the point of that because it's so terrible. It's like
I just smote.
It's like you hear it's the most wonderful time of the year, and everybody's like, oh, it's Christmas, and all of a sudden, Mom, I wanna buy these shoes, and all of a sudden it's like, oh,
turn
God,
it off. Turn it.
Someone has just taken a dump in the punch bowl, and now we're
actually
all depressed.
The funniest thing is that's only one of three things my father has ever openly wept at. That song came on the radio. We're all in the car. And he just starts bawling. Right.
He's gonna buy shoes for his mama.
It's pretty funny.
I'm so glad I've met your dad before, so I can actually picture him. Which makes it all the funnier.
Exactly. All right. So like Sean said,
hey Justin, we got Christmas shoes. That's fucked up.
All right. So Christmas resolutions, and then we're gonna close everything out. All right. New Year's resolution.
New Year's resolution. Well, I could go with the whole like lose weight thing, but fuck that. I think
this cheeseburger's good.
This cheeseburger's good. Mommy, you want these shoes? No. I think what I'm gonna try and do is I'm gonna try and chase my dream, and I'm really gonna try and get more involved with the film scene here. I'm gonna try and move out of my house and really try and get involved with the film scene, maybe go back to college and earn at least my 2 years.
Yeah, that's adorable.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. Sean, your turn.
Well,
it's been a long year.
I just found it just now.
Right on.
I think this year is it's been good. I need to, what do I need to do? I put the music on, now I'm distracted.
Just get distracted less while podcasting. That's
there you go.
There's a good one.
That's get distracted less. Make money off this studio, which is kind of an impossible dream. But you can go to amazon.com/castwaystudios and assuming you know castwaystudios.com/support.
Wow.
Okay.
I love how he threw that plug in right in the middle of his New Year's resolution. That's impressive, Sean. Not many people can do that. Justin,
it's a gift.
Indeed, Justin, your New Year's
resolution.
Well, I agree with Brian that the whole losing weight resolution is totally played out. So I'm gonna say gain a whole shitload of weight and a reality television show.
High five. Yes.
Yeah.
Someone on the upside.
I was about to say you better not say that, you twig man.
I know. Like seriously, it's like you're sitting at a table with like three dudes, like with like one fat dude, two mildly, like, you know, heavier dudes.
He thinks I'm mildly heavy.
Yay! And then Sean. There's no term for what Sean. Sean is Sean. And then you and your.
He's got a muscular arm.
You're
a
twig
man. Bitch tits.
Don't look at me.
So,
Muscles McBitch tits. All right, so Justin's just to gain a shitload of weight. Jordan, what's your resolution?
Well, cutely enough, I actually already did mention my New Year's resolutions on the podcast we reviewed previously this evening, but I'll just throw it out again. I'm looking forward to getting my master's the following year.
Yeah.
That's been a journey of about 6 years. Thank you.
Well, I'm also hopefully going back to graduate school. I'm applying.
Alright.
So that's my serious resolution.
And on top of that, if I may be shameless and self-promoting for a second, I'm looking forward to really stepping up the production on my video show, my internet video review show, Geek Critique.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to at least one new episode every 3 weeks. And in the meantime, and since...
$1 billion.
Sorry, we had to throw in the bird.
I would have started violently wrenching Justin's chair away from him, but that wouldn't have picked up on the microphone. So. In addition to that, since I am on blip.tv now, I actually am making some slight advertisers income. How slight? This month, I got a nickel.
Yeah!
Woo! Yeah!
5 cents!
He's living the dream.
All right,
I'm so proud of my baby boy. Okay, what's my New Year's resolution? I guess I don't know, to better myself as a person. I never really give myself much of a resolution.
Thanks, Hallmark.
I have to say, I'm kind of curious why I just heard a theremin on the music track there for a second. Is this a Christmas song, or is this from Plan 9?
No, this is Claire de Lune.
It's Claire de Lune.
Okay. I would say that, and yeah, like Sean, I would say I'd like to, you know, get this studio going like full tilt.
Yeah. I think all of us want
to
do that.
You should all resolve to support Castwave Studios.
See, no, you can't do it. You can't pull it off like he can.
CastwaveStudios.com/support.
See, he's got.
Hi, I'm Jordan McClure.
Anyway,
I'm Jordan McClure.
Sean, you're like the Phil Hartman of our generation.
Oh, thank you. Thank God he's not married.
Okay, we're ending it there. Right. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy New Year, and we'll see you all in the new year.
We'll see y'all at MAGFest. Bye.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com.